Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Apartment 5H. It's the Gwinnett Guard DJ self. I'm in the building. My neighbors is here. Bianca's here. Jim is here. These are my neighbors. So Greg Nice is in the building. I'd like to say Greg N-I-C-E.
Damon Beso. Oui.
Hello. You know what I'm saying? So they heard that you was coming. They heard hip-hop royalty was coming, and they wanted to chime in on our conversation.
Why not?
So I said, you know, come rock out. And Bianca, sometimes she likes to learn hip-hop. I told her, I said, oh, my friend Greg Nice is coming. She was like, oh, I like Hip-Hop Junkies. What's the song you said?
Of course it was Hip-Hop Junkies, hip-hop. Yes.
Real quick, so before I get into the deep dive into your history.
Yes, sir.
Would you say Hip-Hop Junkies is your biggest record?
When you say big, what do you mean big?
So to me, we call them, I forgot what they call it, Jim, when it's like a novelty act. That's what they call it? Like when somebody could just perform their records all the time, like for years and years. What do they call that? Is it a novelty?
Is Fly By Night.
All right, so not that. Mm. So let's say Naughty by Nature. Naughty by Nature could perform, and their last record, it will most likely be Hip Hop Array. Uh-huh. And to me, your last record is your biggest record. So Nicest Move is performing. What is Nicest Move last record?
I believe it's regional.
Okay.
Because if you go about when you call it something big, it could be big in New York. Uh-huh. But it ain't that big in San Diego.
Okay.
So for example, like when Houdini performed, you'd be like, Freaks Come Out at Night, Big Mouth, 5 Minutes of Funk, Friends, you'd be like, that's the big shit. Uh-huh. When they play in Texas, they gotta do I'm a Ho last.
Okay.
It's the biggest. So when we did the first Summer Jam ever was in KMEL in San Francisco in the Bay Area. This before New York was doing any of them Summer Jam things. Man, we go out there, perform that song, the one you're talking about.
Hip-Hop Junkie.
Yeah, Hip-Hop Junkie. They be like, yay. But as soon as this goes, sometimes around the whole 36,000. So you learn how it was regional when you go different places. And then if you want to go with the stats, number-wise, sometimes I Rhyme Slow sold the most records.
Oh, really? Mm. I wouldn't even thought about that. Wow.
It's the first record
you know
that we
song,
did.
Though?
Yes,
to
I break, do.
I sing it.
It samples Tracy Chapman, which reminds me, how did you get that cleared? Because, you know, Nicki tries to get that cleared recently and that sample wouldn't clear
it's
for
like
her.
Greg N.I.C.E. Hello.
How'd you go
it
about
was a
that?
Different time. Mm-hmm. And we had to replay it. They cleared it, but we had to replay it. They didn't want to let it happen, like you couldn't sample it.
Okay.
And yeah.
And what do you mean by replay? Like, explain it to me.
A replay, by the way, I've been up all night, y'all, you know, drinking and doing what I'm gonna do.
Hip-hop, you know, you got a new song out, baby. Hello, promote it. Hello.
Yeah. Replay is we had to do it all over, live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had to do it all over live and brought the acoustic in there and knocked it out, and it changed everything. It changed the momentum. It changed the price of the show. It changed the demographic. Because it's people that I meet different places. That's the only song that they know, especially somebody white. Mm. So we're like, all right, cool. And we're going to come back with the next song. We said we're going to do the old to the new. And we started singing the melody of the Monkees. It's nice and smooth. We're back with the brand new sound. He's like, mm-hmm. We're gonna stay right in the pocket, but we're gonna keep the beat hard. You know what I mean? And then Def Jam went bankrupt.
Mm. What was the name of that album? Was that called Return of the Hip Hop Freaks?
It's called A Jewel of the Now.
Jewel of the Now.
Yeah. A single on it was
Return of the Hip Hop Freaks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which, for example, when we play in Philadelphia, gotta do that. Mm-hmm. Gotta do that. You could do all that other.
But you have to.
They yelling that shit. You put the mic to the crowd, they yelling that. Because that's their region, that's what they love. So I'm just happy that they like something. So I don't say I have a favorite or what's my biggest. You know, to each his own, people can have their own opinions, but no.
Region.
Yeah. Do different things, different places. Mm-hmm. It works different.
So before we go to Nice and Smooth? Can we go to the beginning of Greg Nice? Because from my understanding, I was hearing that you wasn't even a rapper. You was a producer. And you did most of the production on all of Nice and Smooth's albums. Is that correct? Or am I bugging?
No, you're not bugging.
So do you consider yourself a producer first and a rapper second, or a rapper second, producer first?
First, a music lover.
Okay. Hello.
Just loving music. And there wasn't a blueprint yet when we started. Like, we started with the blueprint.
Okay.
There wasn't a blueprint. So it wasn't no thing where you were like, I'm the producer. I'm this, I'm that. Now you have all of that. You can say, I'm a producer, I can do all of that. But again, remember, they didn't think that it was going to even come to this.
And you talk about hip hop.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you was just doing what you love. You know, when I started in the block parties, man. I was doing the beatbox. That's how I started. I was doing that.
Did you start the beatbox?
Start the beatbox?
Yeah.
Like invent it?
Yes.
No, I can't say that. I don't think nobody can say that.
Okay.
Because probably been making all kind of noises with their mouth, you know. But the blueprint was being built.
Uh-huh.
Now I just started to call it the beatbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the same way you bang on a desk and or the lunchroom table in school. You know, you just banging.
Uh-huh.
You be like, I ain't a drummer, but you be rapping or whatever in school. So people started giving everything titles. It's the producer. Here's the beatbox. Here's the DJ. Whatever the case may be. So I was doing that. And this must have been 83, like 1983, doing that, and I was going all the block parties, all over the five boroughs,
doing the beatbox,
yeah,
not rapping,
nope, doing the beatbox, all over.
So did that make you want to become a producer?
I guess that happened that way.
Okay,
because I knew what I wanted to hear.
Understood.
You know how to bring it to life, you know. So I was doing that, and I started meeting different people like. I met T. LaRock and his brother Special K. This was in 1984. And like I said, I was going to jams and I had a loudmouth friend named Pee Wee. They used to be like, give my man the mic. I was like, nah, man.
And this is in the Bronx.
Yeah, he was like, give my man the mic.
What do you say
to
some people who say, like, because a lot of times people say hip hop started in the Bronx, right? But I'm from Brooklyn, right. So a lot of people tell me hip-hop started in Brooklyn with a guy named Grandmaster Flowers.
Uh-huh.
So what do you say to that? Like, when people got different recollections of the birth of hip-hop?
I don't think that it was hip-hop. Hip-hop became hip-hop as it grew. It became hip-hop, and they started giving it a title. You got to think, if we asking all these questions, and if Kid Creole was the first person to say hip-hop, where Kid Creole from?
He's from the Bronx, right? Okay.
So people were playing music. People were playing music everywhere, you know, with their systems outside. When I was a kid, the first person I ever seen outside playing music was DJ Hollywood and DJ Smalls.
Okay.
He was, you know, I'm almost six decades in,
in
life as far as being born. So, and I was a kid in the 70s when I saw this in the block party. And, then we, you know, I was living in Harlem. Then we moved across that bridge, Yankee Stadium, right across the bridge. And the whole shit was different. It was everywhere, you know. And you were seeing people like DJ Pete Jones. Pete Jones is old enough to be everybody's father in here.
Okay.
So saying that, you know, they didn't have a significant thing where this is just, I'm rocking this beat and this going on this side of the turntable and matching the beat and making it blend. It wasn't none of that. People were just playing music. You know, some of them had the mixes with the knobs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were just playing music. So, but everybody want to claim a title about something. I think everybody was doing their own thing, but the Bronx dudes was doing that, spinning on the floor and spinning on their head and doing all that shit. All the buildings was abandoned and burnt down in the Bronx. You know, that's where that whole thing came. So, and then, you know, you got family, you can have cousins and shit. If you from the Caribbean anywhere, you gotta have family that's on Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn and White Plains Road in the Bronx.
Okay.
The same, your family there. That's just where it is. And then other people that came from the South, it's the same thing. You know, they stopped there in Harlem and then they branched out to Brooklyn. It was like, oh, we gotta get out of here. We gotta move to Queens. We got to make a better life for our families. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's my vision.
Wait, where are you from?
I was born in Manhattan.
Mm. Okay.
In Harlem or Manhattan?
I was born in Manhattan.
Okay. What part of Manhattan?
My mother went to a nice hospital to have me. She was like, I ain't running up here in that other one.
I was arguing with somebody. They're like, he from the Bronx. Somebody else said, he from Harlem. I'm like, I thought he was from the Bronx.
I was raised in the Bronx my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah. I was raised in the Bronx. But again, back to what he was saying, you know, we're doing the beatbox and doing all that shit. It wasn't, we didn't move like, you know, a person be like, this borough or that borough. I was every fucking where.
Right.
We get on a train and be everywhere. I'd be out on Steinway Street. I'd be going to the jams on Eli Avenue out there with the Disco Twins and Sesame, DJ Smalls, and I was doing all that. I was going to Queensbridge doing the beatbox, and they contests and shit in their community center. There wasn't no Nas, nobody was around. No Shantae, none of that. Mm. This is before all of that. I went out there with my man Bar Sean that run with the Furious Five now. And he'll tell you, he's like, oh yeah. You know, I went out there killing shit.
You never was scared to go to these other boroughs? Because they used to tell me, like, back in the days, it's like, yo, you ain't from over here, you getting beat up or robbed or something like that. And then you talk about going to Queensbridge.
Queensbridge wasn't that.
Okay.
We're talking about in the 80s, it wasn't that.
Okay.
You know? Shit, man. I used to go there. My man Noel was a DJ. Noel, him and Molly lived in the same building. Mm-hmm. Noel used to start spinning on BLS, playing all the house music. Boricua was my man. All of them dudes I was fucking with out there when I was, you know, much younger. I was always around the older dudes, so I was getting to go everywhere. And then during that same time when I met Special K and T La Rock, T had the craziest record on earth.
And that was It's Yours,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was It's Yours.
Okay.
Like, think of anything that's major right now. Imagine how that shit was. There's no internet. Most of the time, it wasn't no visual. You just heard that motherfucker. Every car you go by, da-na-na-na-na, yeah, boom, 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 got, da-boom, got. And it's the first record rap song to have the decayed 808. Every other record before that is like Planet Rock and things, and they go boom, boom, boom. It's tight. Mm-hmm. When the fucking T La Rock shit came, they turned that decay button on that fucking 808, and the shit just boom.
Okay.
And that's how that shit started. Boom, boom, boom.
Who was the producer of that?
Got, boom, Rick Rubin.
Rick, so white guy. Oh.
Rick Rubin. Yeah. Rick Rubin and Jazzy J and T La Rock's DJ, Louie Lou.
Okay.
So you got to realize that Rick Rubin was a fan. Mm-hmm. He was a fan, and he was a big fan of the Treacherous Three. And he went to one of their events they had in the village, because he said he used to buy all of their vinyls, whatever single he bought it. And they wouldn't have rap going downtown like in the village. It would only be in Harlem, you know, Bronx, Queens, like that. It wouldn't be down like that. Only thing was there was like punk rock, like the Ramones and all that. Mm-hmm. So one promoter took a chance on that shit, and it turned out good. And Rick Rubin was there, and that's when he got to meet Kumo D, and from there on, supposedly he was talking to Mo D about doing something, and Mo was like, that they can't do it because they signed with Sugar Hill Records, but Special K's brother, he raps too, and supposedly that's what happened. He brought him there, and my man Louie Lou, he always told me, he's like, the drum fills on that record, I did it. There's no credit, but I did it. Mm-hmm. And I believe him because he's a drummer and they was all in one room. So, and you got to realize Rick Rubin was just still a student at NYU. There wasn't no company really. Then they had got the imprint and made it a little Def Jam logo. Mm-hmm. And that's where all of that shit just all started. So during them times, Information Society, all that shit was playing, Running So Hard. New York was just going crazy, man. And I started meeting everybody. Like the Funky Four, the Fearless Four, Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic Three. Rockmaster Scott was like, yo, man, you be getting busy. You think you can go to show with us? I was like, I don't know. I got to ask T La Rock, man. I go everywhere with T. I told T, yo, Rockmaster Scott was like, can I go? He's like, well, fuck it, go ahead. If I'm getting 50 with T, Rockmaster Scott gives me 300. I'm 300, and I'm in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. I'm like, motherfucker. I'm in my crib and Kumo D and motherfuckers is coming to my house.
Wow.
Everybody bugging on my block, you know? And I started doing it with Rock Mr. Scott.
Let me get this straight too. So at this time it's no Smooth B.
No. No. Not me and him, no.
Okay, that's what I mean. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not me. Smooth older than me. It was no, yeah. He was in his own world doing what he was doing. And me and Cool Keith, we went to high school together. So I used to run everywhere with them with Ultra Magnetic. They were the hottest shit in the whole motherfucking New York.
Y'all know Ultra Magnetic? No. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of these records I know because I have an older brother that used to play a lot of these songs. And I do remember Seth G. And I want to big up Seth G because in my DJ career, Seth G had to be, I don't know how old is he now, but Seth G was definitely way older. Mm-hmm. And I always see him in the clubs partying still. And I'm a couple of times I come to him, yo, why? He said, I want to learn the music of today. And it's weird to me because, you know, Seth G, from what I know, you know, is he's talking about, like, I don't know, this is 80s.
This is 80s, yeah.
It's 80s. So he's a artist from the 80s. And still in the 2000s, is partying. Him and Pete Rock. Those two always like in the club in the cut, just listening. Mm. And from my understanding, Seth G is a producer also.
Seth G produced The Criminal Minded, that album. Uh-huh. KRS-One, he produced that.
Tough.
I remember me and Seth, we was at his crib. We got on the 55 bus. On Webster, on 3rd Avenue, took the bus to 149th Street, took the transfer, got on the train with an SB-12 in his arms. No cover, no nothing, just the SB-12.
On the train?
Yeah.
Y'all wasn't scared to get robbed?
Nah.
Yes, not Greg. You making it seem like you was super thug gangster, man.
No, not at
listen,
all.
Listen, I used to hear stories, especially, I'm being from Brooklyn, Decepticons, all that. Mm-hmm.
That's
there's
different.
No way you on the train and bus with a SP, whatever.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And that's 149th and 3rd, so yeah. I know it was murky, especially what? Around
yeah.
that time.
Yeah, we did what we did. And I wasn't no thug or none of that. Motherfucker know who you can fuck with and who you just don't fuck right. with. You know what I mean? And then you got to know how to maneuver as well. So bottom line, we got downtown and then we took the fucking shuttle across from Grand Central over to the west side, to Times Square. I don't know if that still works. I haven't been on the subway in about 30 years.
I think it still does. I'm pretty sure they still.
So that's where you had to cross the go from east to west side. Yeah, I do remember that. But I haven't been on the train in a long time neither.
It's still there.
Okay, it's still there.
I ain't been on motherfucking 30 years. So I don't know. But anyway, we did that. All that shit used to just be fun. And we got out, we walked up to about 48th Street. It was a studio called A&R. And back then, studios didn't have machines and all of that shit in there. You had to have the drum, the guitar there, and the piano. You know, you had to
Live instruments.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't none of that other shit there. So we get there, and he went there to do a session for KRS. And that's when he used to fuck with Scott LaRock a lot. Said that before he died, God bless him.
So you was around KRS-One when KRS-One first started also?
Yeah, I got a story when I was doing the beatbox on the fucking train. Me, him, and T. LaRock. I'm doing the beatbox, and they rhyming. They rhyming with each other on the D train. He'll tell you that. See him. He'll tell you that shit. But we got there and said, put the machine down, set it up, put the sounds in, and KRS was trying to fuck with a keyboard. It was like one of them old Rolands trying to do a bass line. I'm like, yo, why don't you try that fucking broken piano, the one that's all off key? Try that. Probably be dope. He's like, word, right? He went in there and he's like, do then after that, that
you
week.
You was there was when like, the bridges like, over crazy. Was made?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
So you got beef with Queens? I'm messing with you, man.
You started rumors.
I'm fucking with you guys.
You started rumors 30 years later.
Yeah, I'm just fucking with you.
It is. That's one of my favorites. I do love that record.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Shit, my engineer, the engineer of all my albums is from Queens. Every time I left out of town, I did that. I had to drop my car at my man's crib. When I go to the airport, I just leave my car at my man's crib.
In Queens?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your favorite diss record of all time?
Diss record? I don't have a favorite. I like a couple of them. I like the Ice Cube one. I like the...
Like the who?
Ice Cube. The one Ice Cube.
Oh, No did. Vaseline.
No Vaseline. Okay. I like that one. I like the Hit 'Em Up Tupac one. What else did I like?
Ether.
Yeah, I like it. I didn't like the beat as much as the, like, you know, when you hear the No Vaseline, you could dance. You could dance to it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's that disco dance. you want to dance and you hear it. Like, just, I love party. Because that's what made all this hip hop shit rock. Party did. All that other shit, yeah, it's cool. But that party shit made things happen. Imagine if everything was so serious and you wouldn't be able to DJ, you wouldn't get no money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody want to go to your place because everything you're going to do is be dumb serious.
So one thing I've learned, and I think it went over a lot of people.
Motherfuckers, I'll kill you niggas. They'll be like, yo, I ain't going to none of that self shit.
Yeah, right? A diss record that went over people's heads is a song called, well, he's talking about parties, Party Up by DMX. So he'd be like, y'all going to make me lose. That song is dissing Ja Rule. If you pay attention to the words, that whole song, he dissing Ja Rule.
See what you're saying? But that's hidden.
It's hidden, yeah. It's
come
hidden,
right out with the shit.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what make this shit.
Okay.
Fuck your clique and your bitch you claim. Fuck your wife. Lose. You know what I'm saying? Dre beating on D from Pump It Up. They was just saying.
That was Tim Dog.
Yeah, but they was just saying fucking names, man.
Do you think that diss records also have to be factual? Like, you can't just take some shit you heard and spit it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's your take on that?
It's better if it's factual. Okay. Right?
I agree.
Better if it's factual. You would love for it to be factual. I would love for it to be factual. You know, because, you know, what the fuck?
Does it matter?
I mean, depends on who you're talking to.
Okay.
You might say it matter. She might say it don't matter. I might say it matter. He might say it don't. Who gives a fuck? We all got fucking assholes. Everybody got one.
So you think it's subjective? I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's get to how you and Smooth B met each other.
A buddy of mine's named Lance Romance. Lived a block away from me. And Lance was running around with everybody on the Cosby Show and all that kind of stuff.
He was on the Cosby Show?
Well, his dad was one of the producers of the show.
Okay. Mm.
So he was running around with all kinds of people. That's how I know Cockroach and all that, because Cockroach, you know, from Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I want you to meet this dude. I think you and him hit it off. I'm like, all right. Come by my house tomorrow.
To be a producer or to be a rapper?
Nah, just to meet him, like to hit him up, you know?
Okay.
I go, I meet him, we laughing and shit, we bugging. Because at this time I was doing a beatbox for a friend of mine. He passed away, his name was June Love. And June wanted me to rhyme with him and stuff. I was like, nah, you do that, just let me be the beatbox. Because nothing was hotter than that shit.
Mm.
I was going to Disco Fever, not the second Fever they made, the original Disco Fever. I was going in there, gong shows on Wednesday, killing shit, winning. Miss Pac-Man just came out. And fucking, what else was happening? Fucking Gwen Guthrie, padlock, my heart, do. I remember hearing it,
mm-hmm.
You know? So I was like, man, I'm just gonna do the beatbox with my man. So then me and Smooth, we started talking and he was running with Bobby Brown. Bobby just left New Edition. He just left.
Smooth B was hanging out with Bobby Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Because Smooth used to be with Mixed Master.
Badass Bobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one when he just got out of New Edition.
Okay.
So, you know, they was rolling dice. You know, everybody was saying Bobby Brown is got cancer, and they were saying all kind of shit and writing on magazines mm-hmm. and all that. So, his shit was like, you either gonna make it or this shit gonna be over, dog. And he met Smooth and while Smooth was doing all that with him, I was doing the same things with Tila Rock and Ultra.
But y'all didn't know each other at this time?
No.
Okay.
And that's when homeboy said, I want you to meet this dude. So after that, we kicking it, chopping it up, because he would go out on the road every weekend. Because Bobby had just did the I Need a Girlfriend album, did the single. So Smooth wrote all of the rhymes on his album, like The Girl Next Door, everything that Bobby was rapping, Smooth wrote all of the rhymes.
Okay.
And he started being a background singer with him. So on the weekdays, like Mondays and Tuesdays, he'd come home for a break. And me and my man that I was doing the beatbox for, we all started hanging. We was like, yo, we could do a group. Nice, Smooth, and Love. That shit would be dope. Yeah, we could do that shit.
So three-man group.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then one night I'm at my crib, and one of my boys came banging on my door like 2:30 in the morning. Like, what the fuck is going on? My man just crying and crying. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They killed June. I'm like, oh, shit. He was messing with some girl from Elmhurst. So he would go get her, and they come back to the Bronx and went to the donut shop on the 170th and the Jerome. Used to call Munch Time.
Is this the one?
By Munch Time. That's crazy.
Is this by Yankee Stadium, that one?
No, just up further. Mm-hmm. 701 Yankee Stadium, that's 161. But the same line. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if you went up to 170th and then.
Yes, two stops over.
It's right there.
After.
So, yeah, a guy shot my man in the chest over his girlfriend. Mm. He was talking crazy shit to her, and she was like, no, I'm here with my man. He's like, fuck your man and all that. So when my boy came out, he's like, yeah, fuck him, my man. Like, what the fuck's going on? Before he could say anything, the dude just boom, shot him in the chest. And then that was that. So me and Smooth started doing things more and shit. And when he would come home, I would go by his crib. I'm like, yo, check this shit out I'm doing. He's like, oh shit, that beat is ill.
So
I'm like, you want to rhyme on it?
This thing is, like, this is the production part.
Yeah.
Not the rapping.
Yeah, I was like,
okay.
I was gonna make my own thing because.
Make your own beats or your own raps?
My own song, everything.
Okay.
Because my homeboy that wanted me to rhyme with him, he had made a part for me before. He was like, just say this. It was like four bars or something that I would say while I'm doing a beatbox for him, and then I'll stop and say the part. Da 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 da, me and self, and da 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 da, and do the beatbox again.
Okay.
So I'm doing the beatbox again. So. It's like when he died, this shit was like his spirit jumped inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at somebody on the Instagram, sent a message to my Instagram shit saying, I love what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the spirit of June Love inside of you. I don't know who the fuck that is,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be somebody that was from back that, you know, that 80s time. And I'm like, yo, because a little bit of the way my twang maybe was a little like what he did. Only thing, I was on steroids with what I do.
Mm-hmm.
He was laid back. I was not laid back. And just started thinking of the craziest shit to say. And
is
it
that,
worked.
Is that how
and his
did?
Little brother saw me, like his little brother was like 3 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So he seen the whole process because his brother's gone. And he's like, holy shit. Like, whenever you'll see me, you'll just be smiling. We'll sit there. He'll be like, God damn. And I'll be like, yeah. And then recently, he died now. So I was like, oh,
the
shit.
The little brother.
Yeah.
Is this how you get your I think you have, like, a unique style of rapping. It's like with the echo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in apartment 5H.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know?
That came from how the jams were in the Bronx.
Okay.
Certain dudes in the Bronx would use an old echo chamber, and then it would bounce off the fucking abandoned buildings.
What was the name of the echo chamber?
I can't remember. It was just like an echo chamber, like a little box.
I remember I had like an Eli or something like that. Maybe it was something like that.
Well,
like
now that Google's here and everybody want to know hip-hop, the shit got to be online now.
Got you. Understood. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that, and I took everything and put it on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is on steroids. Whatever I do, I make it be on steroids. And I know it's official because I know official guys from that era that have their own intimate moments with me and tell me, yo,
right.
I love how you're doing it. You just took the shit and you just, it's your shit. That's yours.
Yeah.
And then like when like Run DMC did the what's the name? Here we go, here we go, here we go. DMC, DJ, they was doing, DMC was doing that. But he was doing it where it was kind of like, kind of hollow. Mine's is more direct and it's more sharp. So one day I'm in the elevator with him at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
We run DMC.
Yeah, and okay. Motherfucking DMC put his hand on my shoulder and was like, that whole shit is yours. You the king of that shit, motherfucker. Oh, shit, you got them right there on the wall.
Yeah, DMC. Uh-huh.
He was like, you the king of that shit. And I was like, man, listen, you know, when your peers speak to you, all of these things and all of that shit don't mean nothing. Your peers, that's your Grammys. Because your peers got egos, too, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So it take a lot for a motherfucker to tell you something. Mm-hmm. You know, like some gatekeepers that's going on right now. I was going to say their name before I got here, and I thought about it. I'm like, if I say a name, then I'm going to give them attention.
Okay.
I ain't giving them no play. That's free fucking promotion. You know, but they know who they are.
But if you want to tell us, you know, we're
here. Nah, you know, off camera, I'll tell you, I don't give a fuck. I don't want them to get no love. That's the best way to do it. So I'm sitting in my bed the other day in the hotel, and it's about 9 in the morning, and my phone rang, I pick it up, and it's Scorpio from the Furious Five. And I don't know if you understand, like, how their impression was when they was out. Imagine being the only motherfuckers that do all of the shit that you like to do now, that this whole business is right now. Imagine being the only one. Them motherfuckers was gods. Mm-hmm. I know I was still in 10th grade, and when that Motown shit came on, or the Grammys, that 25th Grammy shit, everybody went back to school the next day, was like, did you see Melly Mel and them rhyming on TV? It was on TV! Uh-huh. It was on TV! Because it was just in the hood. And motherfucker was like, Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. We was like, oh my God. And then you see Herbie Hancock bring out DST and he was going. Uh-huh. Everybody was like, they scratched on TV! This shit is crazy! Now it's like, you know, a person born today is normal. You turn the TV on, you be like, you don't understand. That's how powerful that shit was. Mm-hmm. It was new rock and roll. It was rock and roll 2.1700,000. That motherfucker, you couldn't, and it was all original. Everybody wanted to be like their own self. Nobody want, hold on, my name got a letter that sound like that motherfucker, change it. Mm. You know, so I'm saying all that to say, and you gotta think about how big Rick James was at that time. And Mel and them is on tour with fucking Rick James. Imagine how that shit was when it was like ding, 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 when it was out. You know how we do it now. You doing a party, you throw that shit on, ding, 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 everybody rocking. But imagine while he was young. Oh my God. And they were younger than him. So scorping them, that's why they was dressing like that.
To like him.
Yeah, like okay. Rick James. That's my big brother. I want to be like Rick James. And you know, that's when there was no cameras. Women was doing anything. It was just, life was just crazy, you know? And I say that to say, Scorp, have you ever seen him like in the B Street movies? He's always this. He always seemed like he's standoffish kind of. But if you know him, then you'll know that he's a genuine guy. Mm-hmm. So the call I got was from him. I'm like, what's up, Scorp? He's like, man, you doing it. I'm like, I'm doing it. You fucking doing it, man. You doing it not just for you. I want you to understand, you're doing it for all of us. Because, you know, they say we old, that we can't do things, or we got to stay right here. He's like, I heard that record once, and I was like, I like it. Now he said, I played it 20 times. You made a good one. You made one where it doesn't mean, like, oh, here's the old school guy with a record. The shit, like, the kids that's hearing you, they don't even know that you the person from before. Like, And I'm like, right? He's like, don't let no negative shit fuck with you. Whatever anybody has to say, you keep going in the direction you're going. I'm telling you, I'm here for you. I love you, man. Keep doing that fuck. I was like, huh? From Scorp? Uh-huh. Oh, this is ill, you know? And he said, all next week, since today is Father's Day, all next week, my whole timeline is gonna be about you, bro. I said, wow, man. He said, you did the shit that a lot of us want to do and can't do. He's like, you don't even look older than other motherfuckers. You look like right now. I was like, thank you, Scorp. You know, so that's better than any of these things and all that shit. Your peers. You get the love and the respect from your peers. And then at the same time, you know, you always come across some disappointment from people because you put your trust or you put your love in it, and you feel like if you have a bond for 30 or 40 years with someone, you're gonna have a bond. So, but it's, you know, it's one character. I ain't saying his name, but you know who the hell you are. You know when I called you. You one character that I'm like, man, only called you out of the respect of who you are and the relationship that we have. I didn't call you to benefit nothing, because you don't have the listeners like you used to have anyway. Mm-hmm. There's other guys, there's younger guys that's doing what you do at a whole nother level. I'm just calling on the strength of our bond, our friendship. I don't care if I don't like your shit. I'm gonna play it once or twice, because you my motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're supposed to do with anybody. Like, I need you to do this show. I only have this much money. Okay, I'm gonna make it happen. Because if you ask me, that means you really need me or you really want me to do it. Right. This shit is not promised. You're here today, gone today, not tomorrow. This shit is moving extremely fast. You know, before I got to your crib, right, I'm like, what's up with this shit out here? Where the hell we at?
He said, yeah, we in Brooklyn? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't take shit for granted. When you're younger, you do some dumb stuff because you don't have no experience unless somebody tells you or teach you. But we came this far to know that, yo, man, if a person, you know, extends their arm to you, that means they want it or they need it. And if not, you know, so be it. But at the same time, you may like oranges, I may like apples, you may like fucking steak, I may like lobster. Like assholes, we all got them, like I said earlier. So, you know, one guy, when I called him, because I spoke to another guy that's playing the record here in New York. And he's like, did he get the record? I'm like, he should have got the record. Yeah, well, let me double check anyway. Hey, man, what's going on? You get the record? Oh, yeah, I got the record, man. I think I'm going to pass on that one, you know, and, you know, see what you do next time. You know my ways. I said, yeah, those are your old ways. The old ways is what's all fucked up, you know? The old ways is what's fucked up. I said, but that's cool, though, you know? I'm going to be on the same station that you work at. I'm going to be on there tonight with your coworker. I got to go. Click.
So well, we know it's someone at a station.
Well, let me say this, right? I'm not, I'm all for the DJ. So, you know, maybe something happened where they couldn't get it in. So I'm going to skip past the DJ bashing. I love DJs.
Oh, here you go. Now you want to be political.
So let's get to you and Nice and Smooth. This mm-hmm. is the first album is called
Nice and Smooth.
Nice and Smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Sleeping Bag Records.
Sleeping Bag Records.
And I do remember having trouble finding a song called No Bones and Ice Cream. So now, what happened? Like, what was the science behind that song?
As far as what the song is,
I remember you only could get it on like a single or something like that, so it didn't make the album.
You could get it on the B side
of what song?
Of a single of Funky For You.
Funky For
On
You.
A limited amount of singles.
So what? That was like a late song you added, or like what was?
Back then, mostly all artists would have a B side.
Okay.
And we have a 12-inch, and you got to realize this was the beginning stages of having rap albums.
Okay.
Because everything before then was singles.
Just putting singles out, no albums.
Yeah, they didn't. Okay. It wasn't a business like how it is now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was a single business.
Mm-hmm.
You play the Bad Boys, da na 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 na. Everything was singles. The Show, La Di Dottie, it was a B-side, see? La Di Dottie, The Show.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Rock the Bells, have the original Rock the Bells on the other side.
Okay.
Everything had like a A and B side, like, you know, so that's how that happened.
But in all fairness, those songs all did make the album they when the album came out.
Albums came later, so by the time they did have an album, that was way later. They wasn't making an album because nobody knew. They didn't have a budget. Everything, all the independent labels was like, I'll put a single out immediately.
Okay.
Because it wasn't, look, the rap chart thing came on Billboard years later. They didn't have that in the beginning. It used to just say black music, that's it. It didn't say this one and this kind and the R&B, it didn't say none of that like that. It was just one way. So, yeah, if somebody did get an album, he was like, oh shit, you got an album. And now, I say around 88 is when people started like saying like, okay, we're gonna do album deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wasn't, everything was a single. Every freestyle record, you know, like from whether it's Lizette Melendez, Cover Girls, fucking No Sarah.
Are you dancing me, Greg? Are you dancing me now? Because you got an album and the song's not on the album. You dancing me, man.
Oh, no, because the album, we didn't even know that we was going to have an album.
Okay. But when the album came, why didn't you say, let's add this song on
no,
the album?
No, because we're going to put it on the B-side. Because everything was special about having a song, then you put it on the B-side. When we did the DeWick with Gangstar, it was on the B-side. It was on the B-side.
It was on the album.
Later, it was on the album.
So, all right, so let me ask this question. Okay,
it wasn't
on the album. So maybe I'm getting it wrong so you can clarify. So the album was out already, and then you put No Bones and Ice Cream on the B-side of a single.
No, we didn't have an album yet. We only did a single. We only had did a single. With
okay.
We didn't have a contract to say we're going to make an album.
Mm-hmm.
You just make a one
single.
And
that's no money when they do that, right?
No, because they wasn't giving rappers albums.
Okay.
It wasn't, it's a stat quo now, it's regular.
Uh-huh.
Now, like you growing up, there's an album.
Uh-huh.
Imagine, they only made singles. That's why they was killing the game.
But this song is still not available now.
Right, because Sleeping Bags went under. Sleeping Bags went bankrupt.
But Sleeping every other song went, is available. Besides this one song.
Right. I don't know what they did. I don't own the masters.
Oh, got you. What is the meaning of No Bones and Ice Cream?
No matter how many times the ball bounces, still no bones and ice cream. Biz used to say that to me all the time.
Okay.
So basically, like, no matter how you try to run through this wall, you're just not going to get through the motherfucking wall.
Okay, all right.
No matter how many times.
How
many times you keep asking me to play that record, this shit ain't going to get no space.
Ain't going to get no space. Yeah. So let me say something that I feel that might hit Bianca to heart. Bianca, from my knowledge.
Yo, he always does this. What?
I want to say, from my knowledge, Greg Nice and Smooth B was the first to make a Spanish hip hop record. Would I be correct to say that?
Which one?
Mm-mm.
Who was there before that? I learned Spanish from this song. See,
you don't know based on.
Yeah, right? It was like. Mujeres, let your body flow.
Oh, I don't remember.
And a malita. I don't even know how to say Spanish.
Did it have that much Spanish?
The whole song is Spanish.
Well, because we did it. We did the whole Latin version. We made a one because I'm like, all my boys is with me is Puerto Rican. Everywhere I'm going. So I was in the studio. I was like, yo, Ray, you know what? Help me translate this right now. And he's like, are you for real? I'm like, yeah. Smooth was like, hell yeah, let's do that shit. And then we was like, yo, we gonna shoot the video the same way. So that day, that morning, we up at the fucking radio station the night before. Everybody, tomorrow we gonna be at Cha-Cha Beach. Everybody, we gonna be at Cha-Cha Beach. Ralph McDaniels talked, he's like, hey, we're gonna be at Orchard Beach tomorrow on the Video Music Box. Oh my God.
Little Puerto Rico.
God. I'm just happy I'm still here.
I know that must have been
one. Lord have mercy. Yeah, yeah. But hold on. Mean Machine, they did it. Mean Machine. And who else did it?
I've never heard of
Mean Machine.
Yeah.
Well, this song. This
is the one. This one became popular.
Okay, yeah, this is hip hop song. The song you know, mm-hmm. Nice and Smooth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they did the whole song in Spanish.
That's another thing too. So when we got to the Bay, I felt to realize that, hold on, the whole fucking California is Mexican.
It's Mexican, yes.
So when we went to their thing, they had this show called Video Beat or whatever, and it was like a video music box, but over there. And we went there and had a little room like this. And that's what everybody was watching out there. Mm-hmm. That was the outlet. That was, everybody was watching that. And we there, and it was like two songs was in the top two. It was No Future in Your Frontin' from MC Breed, and it was Hip Hop Junkie, but we thought it was Hip Hop Junkie English. It was in Spanish.
Okay.
It was on the video shit. That's what was playing every day. It was number one.
That's crazy. That's
yeah,
a big deal.
So when we performed, motherfucking shit was going crazy.
The Spanish.
Yeah, so I started going, oh shit. Right, everywhere over here is that. Texas, everywhere. Holy shit. We was doing it for the Bronx. We thought we was doing something. It's like, oh no, you did that shit for the rest of the whole country. Yeah, that was fun.
See, so that's a fun fact for you.
That is a fun fact, and that's a big deal, especially at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you listening to now?
Fucking Teddy Pendergrass. The whole town's laughing at me. America Most Wanted.
So you don't like none of the new acts coming out now?
I don't know too many of them because I don't listen to the radio. So how I'm gonna know about? I'm not around a lot of young kids, so I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I hear it was popular. I could tell like by that. Yeah, glow. Yeah, glow.
I'm at a strip club somewhere. You know. Yeah, whoever's the top three or whatever.
Shout the Glorilla.
Yeah. Anything else? I don't know.
Was it mandatory? I guess when in the late '90s, because a lot of hip hop albums that I see and I hear, they always had like a slow jam on it, right? So it's like I remember Kane had Day You Be Mine. Y'all had Something I Can't Explain.
Yeah.
Heavy D had I'm in the Mood for Love.
Don't you know?
So they get like, it's like real slow jam records. And it's like, I feel like they was trying to sing or something. Like they was like New Edition or something like that. Was that mandatory? Was that designed?
It became like a stat quo because, you know, Curtis Blow did it. You know what I mean? The Daydreaming, things like that.
And then LL. And Daydreaming is sampled by French Montana and he changed it to Stay Scheming. Yeah, so it's Daydreaming. Yeah, so now he's like, stay scheming. Well, French Montana
we
sampled it.
When we rap.
Instead of saying Daydreaming, he's saying stay scheming.
That was a big record. Uh-huh. A very big record.
I bet out of the loop.
Yeah.
Drake is on the Drake Ross and French Montana.
When they were friends.
Look, I know their names more than I know their music.
We're going to play
it. So it's a bigger world now. Popularity. Before it was your music, and the popularity came, you know, after it was the music, you know. I took Big Daddy Kane over to 45 King House one day on a bus from the Port Authority, and we in the crib and shit, cause 45 getting this beat ready for Kane, and you know 45's boys is over there. I don't know, it might have been Latee and whoever the Flavor Unit became, and we in there talking, me and Mark and Kane, and they was like, man, the way you talking, man, you would think he was Big Daddy Kane or something. Because it was no pictures yet.
Okay,
true.
There was no none
true.
Of that. We was just in the house. And Mark laughing, we all laughing like, they don't know that is Big Daddy Kane. Motherfuckers. I guess when we left, Mark probably said, that was Big Daddy Kane. What the fuck? You know, so back then, everything was about, you know, your music. You ain't know what a person, shit, motherfuckers was faking, acting like it was the Boogie Down production, going to do shows.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And other places. And then one of KRS Boys was one of the dudes that was doing it too. Somebody to hang out with him every day. He was doing sneaky shit with the guy from the record company. Record company guy's like, I got a way to make money. You're gonna go over here and you'll be performing it. So KRS got wind of it. And we went to Sensations one night in Newark. Newark was crazy back then. Oh my God. So KRS doing his performance, and he told homeboy, yo, come up stage with me, man, hold on. And then this man, Willie D, and him just started lumping him up, boom, 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 boom.
It was over.
Threw him off the stage, boom, boom. Like, oh,
on the stage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen him do that same shit with PM Dawn.
Well, I know you have a lot of stories, right? And I'm always directing it to Bianca because
she like that.
I like to teach her.
No, I'm sick of him already.
I like to teach her hip hop, right? And I don't know if you understand some things that's influential in my life. One thing is this movie here, Juice.
Yeah, that's right? My favorite movie too.
This is my favorite movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Of all time?
Of all time.
It was on 2 days ago.
Yes, that's why it's the only poster here. This is my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, is that in Good
and there's a part in there where he'd be like, Dizzy with Tupac. And I hear that you had an outstanding relationship with Tupac. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
The super outstanding, like super, super outstanding relationship with Tupac. Even to the point where I think I was told that you were around him the last couple of days of his life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that? Can you tell Bianca and people that don't know this? How did you meet Pop?
In the street.
What do you mean in the street?
I met him in the street in Harlem, in the street.
Okay.
And he seen me and ran and like, yo! I'm like, yo! And from there, it was on. So they started filming that movie.
Juice.
Yeah, okay. And he said the director kept telling him, y'all are just too quiet when you're walking down the street. You have some kind of action. So he said, the first thing that came in my head was the lyrics from your song.
Funky.
He said, because I keep playing that shit every day to tape. So I started saying the lyrics to the shit when I was walking down the street. I'm like, that's some crazy shit, motherfucker. and that's how that happened. And then if you look at, Poetic Justice? Then he got a poster up of me and Smooth over his bed inside the room. If you look at the movie again, he got a poster up of us. And, you know, when we would come to L.A., people wouldn't realize it because they only know what they know now. But he'd be like, it was a time that we were hotter than fish grease. We were the hot shit.
Mm-hmm. Nice and Smooth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we was going to do this promo show in San Diego. So we ran into this motherfucking... What's that motherfucking restaurant we ran into his ass at?
Roscoe's?
And Roscoe's, the one that's on...
Everybody like Roscoe's.
It's the one that's on Sunset. I wasn't fucking with the one in Inglewood or all that shit. But fuck that, y'all can have that. But I was like, yo, he said, what the fuck y'all doing? We going to Diego. I'm coming too. All right, come on. We with the rep from the label. He had a little square Cherokee Jeep. Moving around with no shirt on. Everything he did with no shirt on. Uh-huh. It's like, this motherfucker's crazy. And no license. So we driving and shit, we get to San Diego.
Like, this is after the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
We get to San Diego and give him a room because we had an extra room and shit. He's like, here. Gave him a room in the Embassy Suites. And they had me and Smooth judging the big booty wet t-shirt contest at this club. And the club is jam-packed. Whew, Lord. I remember it clear as day. And this is when back in the day, y'all, you know, no Don't crazy judge. Shit. Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so,
it was cool.
Yeah, everybody was back at the hotel. Uh-huh. Everybody was back at the hotel because we used to do shit like, you know, all y'all ladies that want to be in, we stand down a block at the Holiday Inn. Boom. And that's how we do it in the whole, just hotels before, stuff like that. And you know, we doing what we doing. I happened to get the girl who won the big booty contest. Oh my God. I remember the next morning, he leaned into the car window and was like, yo, motherfucker, damn, you got that bitch, I want it. He said, but I ain't hot enough. I ain't hot enough. Okay. So now time goes on. Uh-huh. You know, the jail thing and the death row thing came about. And
how did you feel when he did that, the death row thing?
Well, I guess he had to do what he had to do.
Okay.
You know, if I'm in jail and somebody can get me out of that goddamn jail, and, you know, after I've had altercations with, you know, somebody shooting me and all kind of other stuff going on, you know, like he told me, like, once that shit happened, he told me everything changed. He said, once that happened, because around 96, it must have been about 95, 96, and I was sitting in my crib in Yonkers, and I'm like, damn, shit ain't going like I needed to go. Def Jam just went under. They were trying to find a new distributor. So the project that we had, everything just fell. That and Public Enemy. We just like, what the fuck? And eventually, you know, we maneuvered a way to get our situation out of there. And I'm like, yo, you know what? My homeboy said, man, don't you know Tupac? I'm like, yeah. Man, you should go over there with them guys on the West Coast. I'm like, they got so much stuff going on, man. He's like, but ain't he your man? I'm like, yeah. Fuck that shit, man. I was like, oh shit, you know what? 411, can I get the number to Death Row Records in Beverly Hills, California?
Oh, this is before Google, I'm guessing, right? You talking about 411?
Of course it was,
yeah. Okay.
So I'm like, we got it. He was like, Death Row Records? I was like, hey, my name is Bada Bada Bar, and I want to leave a message for Tupac. He was like, that's it? I'm like, yeah, that's it. Me and my man go downstairs and shit. He's like, come on, man, take you to IHOP. I'm like, all right. His beeper ringing. He's like, yo, you know this? I'm like, 310. They just made a new area code, like in West Hollywood is with 310. Because everything only used to be 818 and 213. The same way New York only used to be 212, 718. I'm like, that's the new area code over there. Hey, somebody paid me? What's up, my nigga? I was like, yo! He's like, what's up? What's going on? I'm like, they're acting like I ain't do shit over here. I need help. He was like, come over here right now. I was like, I don't have no $1,000 to get on the plane. Man, I want you to pay shit. Write this fucking number down. Call back in 5 minutes. And I call back, and some lady answers the phone. She's like, hey, how you doing? Okay, so we got one at 6 o'clock. It was like 2 in the afternoon. I was like, oh no, can you do it in the morning? Mm-hmm. They was like, okay, hold on. We'll call you right back. Called back, they was like, okay, we got one at 7 a.m. leaving JFK. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. They was like, okay, we have 2 tickets. So I was like, cool. I told my homeboy that said, call Tupac. Cause this my,
but when I gave you the idea.
Yeah, this my hustling dude. You know, he getting money. He getting money.
Straight nigga.
Yeah, he got money, he getting money. But he a fan of this guy. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna take you with me. He's like, what? Let me go to the block. I gotta make sure everything's cool on the block. Do all of that. He's like, I'll pick you up in the morning in the cab. Pick me up in the cab, we went, landed. They had a fucking sign with my name like this. I just started laughing like, holy shit, look at this motherfucker, look at this motherfucker. Oh shit, he doing it. Get in the limo, the driver like, you wanna go through the hood or you wanna go through the freeway? I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, Mr. Knight had me ask all the passengers which way they wanna go. Yeah, I'm like, huh? I don't care, where we going? He was like, they had a movie set in Pasadena. I'm like, okay, cool. We get there, I see the FOI out there. I see the sheriff's department and I see gang dudes, blood dudes all swollen. They had like a little table in front of a gate and all kind of movie trailers. I was like, oh shit, my man's a movie star. Holy shit, he's a movie star. So I had my little shoulder bag about this size. Because before I left, I told my sister and them, you can come to my house. Y'all can have all my furniture. You can have everything. I ain't coming back. Right. And I told them they could have it. They came and got all that. So I only took whatever I had right there, my shoulder bag. They was like, yeah, you got to open your bag and all that. I was like, oh shit, this funny. I didn't have nothing in there anyway. Got my bag, went through the gate. And as soon as I was walking by a trailer, who comes running? This motherfucker trying to pick me up.
Tupac.
I'm like, motherfucker. He's like, I don't believe it. You came. Motherfucker, you came. He's like, everybody's scared of me. Look at my little ass. What can I do to anybody? I can't hurt nobody. We on the trail and shit. He's like, damn, how's Smooth doing? I'm like, he chilling. He's like, cool. I just want to know because I love him like I love you. But you call me. What you got on your last album at Def Jam? I'm going to get you 20,000 more right here on the road. Not the one that we get ready to do, the East Coast. This one, the one with all the problems. your shit is fun. Your shit is hip hop. Mm. They love your ass in Cali, love you in New York. Matter of fact, we'll do your first single tonight. Let me do the hook. And we just bugged the fucking world out. I was like, all right. He was like, you act like you don't smoke no more. I'm like, huh? Boom, threw a big ounce of shit at me. I'm like, huh? My homeboy's just sitting there like, he in awe. He's like, hold on, I gotta be back. I gotta go do another scene. He's like, you hungry? He's like, yeah. Tell the lady, make sure my motherfucker get whatever the fuck they want to eat. Door closed. My boy rolling up a Dutch. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm gonna smoke a blunt. Huh? I'm gonna smoke with Tupac. I'm like, all right. He come back in. He started talking some more. He's like, yo, you wanna go to the studio? Go to the studio now. I'm having to take you to the studio, and I'll see you later at the crib. He's like, I got you in the hotel at the La Rev. Every time I used to come see your ass in the La Rev with them $35 pitchers of orange juice. I know where you used to stay. I know what you like, motherfucker. And I was like, no, man. He said, but you ain't gotta stay in there. Stay in the fucking crib, too. Go at night, he come back and shit. He's like, yo, you did any of the beats? I was like, yeah. Oh, shit. Yo, you gotta do more. I was like, all right. Go the next day and just start doing more. Then he come back in, like sometime I'll be sleeping and he already be gone out the house early, gone. And then he come back in at night. I'm like, what up? He's like, oh shit, man, I just ran into fucking Bokeem. He told me, give you his number and shit. Oh, what the fuck? I don't know what I did, I lost that shit. I'll see him again tomorrow. I'm like, all right. Next day, oh shit, I forgot. Time goes on. You know, he goes on to the other side of life. And I run into Bokeem like 15 years later. Mm. I'm like, yo, I said, Tupac told me, he said, yeah, I told him to give you my number. I was like, so all the time that y'all was seeing each other, y'all was doing the I'm Not Mad At You video? He was like, yeah. He didn't even tell me he was doing no videos. He was just doing everything. He was just doing everything. Because when I got there, they just finished doing How Do You Want Him? And I seen KC, I seen JoJo, everybody in the hallway. Mm. I seen Melly Mel. Mel was always with Suge and them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, snap. He's like, you came a day late. Let me show you something. Show me a naked version of How Do You Want It. He was like, man, we was naked. Actually, I was knocking him down. He said, I was knocking him all the way down till I couldn't knock down nothing else. Till I fell out. I'm like, get the hell out of here. He's like, you missed all that shit. And then he showed me another thing. He's like, that's when, you know, you used to have that little TV and it got the VHS under the bottom, the little square one. Mm-hmm. He had one of those in the trailer. He's like, look what, I'm like, what is this? You show him coming in like shot with a fucking a sling around his neck. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Oh, that's supposed to be Puffy? Yo, you fucking crazy. And then he had Biggie like reaching for Twinkies and all that shit. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? She's crazy, right? I'm like, oh my God. He was going crazy, man. And then he's like, I wanna end all this shit, Greg. You gotta help me. He's like, I miss going to New York. Mm. I wanna see a Puerto Rican. That's what I wanna see. I wanna go in a bodega. I wanna see a Puerto Rican. I'm like, huh? He was like, yeah, man. Do you know one that'll fly out here? I'll fly one out here. I just wanna see him. My word to God. He was on that shit just like that, man. Yeah, so,
Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then we just started doing that One Nation thing and we started bringing the Outlaws and all those guys in doing their thing. And he said, we gonna dead this. And he's like, you know how to reach Buckshot, Shorty? I was like, yeah. Mm. I got in touch with them. I was like, do you wanna put Fat Joe on it? He was like, yeah, yeah. I called Joe, I called Premier, I called Easy Mo B, and he's like, I don't know, Mo B probably mad at me. I'm like, why are you mad? Because all the shit I said, he's probably mad at me. I'm like, Mo's not mad at you. Yo, Boo.
Yo, what's up, Greg?
Hold on, where's somebody here? And you could just hear him screaming and laughing. Aww. I was like, see, he ain't mad at you. He's like, you know, and then I came to New York. I was going to go rap on one of my buddy's songs. Cause I always said, I'm gonna get on your song. Once the deal comes through, I'll get on the song. So I came to do it. It never came out. I went by Smooth's lady's house to tell him Tupac asked about him and everything. He's like, let's go to White Castle's. I was like, all right, come on. He listened to the radio and we just start hearing Angie Martinez crying. I'm like, what the fuck is she crying about? Mm. And it just went silent. And I'm like, a few minutes later, it came back on and she was like, Tupac Shakur was just gunned down in Las Vegas. I'm like, I just left. Like, all my shit was still in the house. And three of my homeboys that I brought with me later to be on the album, they all out there. They never left.
Oh, they still was at the house?
Yeah, they never left now because till today. Like, they done met women and been married and have families. And, and a lot of them like, you changed my life, man. I'd be like, wow. So, and that was it.
How was it to know, like, an icon like that? And I guess even
he was the realest motherfucker ever. The realest, biggest motherfucker ever. That'll walk anywhere. Every time we was in the street, he put money out of his pockets and just give it to homeless people and things like that. That's all he used to do all day long. That was his shit, man. And we go to the liquor store, he bought all the Hennessy, the whole shelf, all of it. And then put it around the board in the studio. And one day we were in a session, just me and him. And he had the board and I'm sitting in the little room, like, imagine you have a glass sliding door here and I'm just sitting watching the television. You know when you could feel somebody and we just turned to look and we just looked at each other and he just started smiling. He had his hands like this, you know what I'm saying? And that was it.
That's interesting because I've never heard that he wanted to dead the beef between the East and West.
Oh,
I don't know if y'all heard that. I never heard that.
Oh, no, that's all it was. That's what he wanted back. Yeah.
Not enough stories about
life
that.
Life after death or All Eyes on Me? What's your favorite?
That's a good one.
Life after death.
Jamming him up because he's from New York. He's still alive.
I'm trying to see.
Tupac from New York.
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
Uh-huh.
Tupac from the fucking Bronx.
That's right, baby.
He ain't rapping.
Woodycrest Avenue.
Yeah.
Heard out his mama's mouth. She told me what building everything.
Born in Bronx, Lebanon.
So that has nothing to do with it.
Did you know KRS wasn't from the Bronx?
You know what I mean?
He's from Brooklyn. I know that. Boom,
fuck
boom.
Me
oh.
up.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Fuck me
BK
up.
All day.
That should hurt me.
Yeah.
If you pass on that, that's fine if you know, or equal.
Which one is the one that got... The one I made a little video of when I'm driving around in the car the other day. Everybody's liking the little video. The one you can't see me and George Clinton is on it.
Tupac?
Yeah. Whatever that shit is on. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking
That's
at-
That's All Eyes on Me.
The You Can't See Me record is on there?
We can find out.
So you're saying that's better than Life After Death?
No, you said what I like.
He said what he liked, yeah. You said what he liked.
You may think lobster is better than steak for you.
All Eyes
That's
on what
me.
You like.
All Eyes on Me.
All Eyes on Me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at videos here of Rakim, and I know the big debate in you was around at this time. Who you think was the better MC, Rakim or Kane?
Kane, I know he's going to say that. MC means master of ceremony.
Yes.
Kane is a better master of ceremony
because
he interacts more. Like as far as when he's performing, he's like, I'm an MC.
Mm-hmm.
Other dudes is rappers, lyricists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an MC.
Mm-hmm.
I could just say the dog and the cat and the cat and the dog and the cat and I'm an MC. I'm a master of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I move people. You see me, I move the motherfuckers. So it's a little different. Now you want to say,
I guess, rapper.
Lyricist.
No, I don't want to use the word lyricist.
Okay.
Because the reason why I don't want to use the word lyricist is because I feel like a lot of times they put Rakim on that pedestal of being a better lyricist than Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because of some of the choices Kane made with some of his songs. People may have watered down his lyrics to me.
Hmm.
When I say that, meaning I know that he had like the Prince of Darkness album and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. had certain joints on there.
I mean,
like,
he wasn't afraid to try things.
Yeah, try. Yeah, you understand.
And you shouldn't be as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You should try whatever the fuck you want to try because mm-hmm. you're not living your life for other people. You should be living for yourself. And once you get into business, then you start letting business control your creativity. No, do whatever the fuck you want to do, man. That's how I feel. That's mm-hmm. why myself, I could speak for me. I would be on a Lizette Melendez record and be on a CNC Music Factory record, be on a Mary J. Blige record, be on a Tupac record.
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that neither.
All that shit.
It's on Mary J. Blige record. You remind me.
I could do anything.
Oh, you could do okay.
Everything. You're supposed to do okay. everything. You know what I mean?
Have you ever heard Rakim curse?
On a record?
Yeah.
Nah.
Can't find nobody.
Who, Rakim?
Yeah, he don't curse.
Yeah, Rakim curse, I think.
I can't find nobody that heard him curse.
It must have been later on, not the records that you know and love, no. Mm-mm.
I think he cursed on Know the Ledge, because I do remember having it like Juice? A clean version. Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll tell you this, in that time and era, they would bleep out things even if you... Look, they made us take out, man, my tip was harder than a rock. They made us take out tip.
Mm. What does DeWitt mean?
Do what you can, kid.
Do what you can, kid? That's what it, okay.
That's fine.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
How was that working with Guru? Now, I mean, Premier's alive, but and Guru has passed on. Like, how was that? Like you've been connected with a lot of these.
Nobody like him. He nobody's like him. Goo is crazy. Goo is crazy. A crazy genius.
Mm-hmm.
An educated crazy genius. And when he get that sauce,
it's over.
It's a whole nother thing going.
Mm-hmm. From Brooklyn, right?
He's like
Boston, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, what's the
Boston?
Name?
Yeah, from Boston.
What's your uncle? From Eddie Murphy, Leo, Gus. He's like Uncle Gus.
Uncle Gus, okay.
Leo can't touch the phone. Leo, that's him. Be like, hey, yo, Goo, what? Hey, yo, Goo, go that way, dude. What you gonna do? You're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, wants to go away? Hey, how everybody doing? Okay, Goo. He's been in several bashing events in all the clubs all over New York City.
What's your favorite city to visit?
To visit or to do what? To play or what?
Play.
Philadelphia.
Really?
Yeah.
What's in Philly that you like?
The motherfuckers is live.
Uh-huh.
They love music.
Mm.
They love music.
I'm sorry, New York when I said is, New play, York I was is cool. Something else. Like, have what? Fun. When he say play, he meant like perform. Right?
You yeah. would
perform,
you yeah. would think play.
When he say play, I meant like the theme, like have fun.
Oh no, I'm talking about to perform.
Perform.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I give him that version of me. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
All right.
Philly. Let's check. Cool C or EST?
ES.
ES and why?
Because he's my man.
Okay.
Would you credit yourselves with being like the first to do melodic rap?
No.
Who would you credit that to?
Well, you say he got his style right from a Cold Crush.
People, a lot of the Force MCs.
Yeah, they was there.
The Force MCs. Uh-huh. That's what I liked a lot. I liked the Force MCs. I liked Cold Crush too, but like more people, Cold Crush people, I was more of Force MCs people as far as like the way they was doing their sing-alongs and Stevie D could do the beatbox, and Jesse, and like I liked them. I liked their style a lot. They were awesome.
But you kind of popularized, I feel like, a little bit with the melodic rap. I mean,
It started doing it more. Yeah, it became, yeah. But it wasn't like the first. I don't want to be the first of anything. I want to be like Luis Guzman. I want to be the third man or the fourth man.
Why don't you want to be the first?
He can work all day long when you're the third or the fourth man. When you're the number one man, it's a lot of pressure on you. Mm. People just looking for all kind of things for you to slip up and just fuck up. But you can have a big movie like Tom Cruise and then Ving Rhames can play in it and the shit flops. I'm just still Ving Rhames.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the beat? Arby's. I could do Arby's commercials all day long. Mm-hmm. When you got that light on you, that's hard, man. They might give you a fucked up script. True. You know, everybody, like, let me hear the album. I'm waiting to see what that album. I hate that shit. Damn, you just wanted to hate it so bad. You know?
Criticism.
Yeah, I produced two of them songs on it. The shit went gold still, but I got my credit under there, but it ain't my name on the front. I could go produce some more people. You know, you want to be the third string, at least that's how I think. I don't want to be the first of anything. You don't want to be the first one with the woman. You know what I mean? Let somebody else loosen that up. Let somebody else get it right.
Nah, not me. I like to be first. I like to be first.
No, I agree. I'd rather let him get all that out with the other woman. That way, by the time he comes to me, he's reformed. He's calm. Yeah. He sits there. That's it. He went out already. Chill. He did all that.
I want to be first, man.
Go sit down for a little bit.
That's all right. I'm cool with it.
I'm with you on that.
I ain't losing shit.
I'm with you on that.
I ain't losing nothing.
I'm looking at the TV.
I don't be like this.
I hear that. Well, I'm looking at the TV and a Big Pun video came up and I saw Smooth B. I don't know if you was in that video, but what was your relationship with Big Pun?
He's a good guy. He's a very nice guy.
Were y'all close?
Not close, but okay. Whenever we sat down intimate and we talked, you know.
What about Busta Rhymes? Because every time Busta Rhymes, he always speak highly of both of you guys.
Busta's my boy. I mean, I know Busta when he was a kid, when he lived in his house with his mother and him and his brother share a bedroom. Mm-hmm. One bed on this side, one bed on that side. And, I played a big part and an inspiration with him, with his creativity and things that he do. Just kind of letting them know that you can do certain things. And, it's been like that. You know, I don't see him much, but whenever we see each other, it's the same feeling. Everything's the same.
Who was someone that you've seen come up, and I want to use the word, you didn't think that they would be as big as they would be, but you're happy that they are.
I can't name one off the top of my head.
Okay.
Because everybody did what they're supposed to do.
What's the best tour you've been on?
The game
favorite
just
tour.
Changed. I don't know, man. A tour that I was on and we wasn't an act on the tour, but we was on the tour. Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel tour. Mm.
That's where he got like jammed up with like doing like sexual acts and stuff on the stage. You was there when BBD and him had a fight backstage?
No, that was in Tennessee with the sexual act shit. He was doing Tenderoni. Uh huh. That's where he shot the video too. Shot the shit.
Did you that self?
Huh?
When was that? When was the getting kidnapped by preacher and shit? Is that when?
So I don't know that. That's why I don't know. Maybe you know information about that. Like they heard Wright preach to that's some uptown
preacher
stuff.
Preacher kidnapped them and Whitney put the money up. That was
you
right
know
after
that.
New Edition.
Yeah, I heard stories like that. I heard stories.
You know something? I can tell you. He don't know more.
No, 100%.
No, no stories, but that was after his heyday.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. That was in the heyday. Shit, man, he had all of them Crips and Blood dudes with him from L.A. That's when everybody was living in L.A. But that tour was crazier than a motherfucker because, you know, it'd be women standing outside with their fucking suitcases talking about, I'm going with you. You'd be like, what the fuck? It was like, they was going crazy, man. And
did you
that
see
young the, Bobby Brown, how do you see Usher and all of them people?
Uh-huh.
That young Bobby Brown?
Bobby was crazy.
One fucker was more street dudes that's ill-talented. It was different.
Mm.
It was totally different, and the things that you could do back then that you can't do today, it was a great time. I mean, every night that shit was dope. Like me and Smooth used to run and go get the girl that's gonna be Tenderoni, or be the girl that's gonna be on the bed when the Rock You song came on. I wanna rock with you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my Lord, the Marinas was just bananas, and then Bob was like, I'm gonna turn this shit up a little more. I'm gonna have a hip hop in the middle of my shit. And that's when he brought Rob Bass on that tour. And that motherfucking record just came out.
Hit it.
The motherfucking the whole arena go, wow.
No, Harlem.
Yeah.
Wow, basically wow. Harlem?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I think from, like, what's the name of the price?
Nick, and then Gerald Levert.
Lincoln.
Gerald Levert opens up and Gerald starts singing and them women is crying and panties is flying. Because, you know, you don't got dudes that singing like that. The big guys today don't sing nothing like that. They can't do none of that stuff.
No guys. No guys are singing like that.
Gerald, yeah, none of them.
At the five.
I know. My mother don't ask me about nothing.
Bring back the
And one day my mother asked me, she said, son, do you know the guy that's heavy set with the beard that sings? I said, Gerald Levert? She's like, yeah, you know him, son? I was like, yeah. She's like, he's incredible. So one day I'm in a hotel room with Gerald sitting there. He got his robe on and shit. We in L.A. smoking a blunt. I'm like, yo, gee, you ain't gonna believe it. He's like, what? My mom love you. Get the fuck out of here. I'm like, my mom is asking me that I know you.
Gerald tough.
Yeah, none of them want to fuck around. Nobody, when he came, he'd be like, God damn, man. So now it makes it hard for me, like, when people be like, you gonna go see this person? And I'd be like, nah, y'all can go for the excitement and cheering and people screaming just to be there. But talent-wise, to make me feel it in my heart, them motherfuckers, all them guys was so incredible, the stat quo was like up here. You know, you were like, damn, you can have a novelty act that could sell 5 million records and you have one good sounding guy and it maybe do 500,000. Because people buying popularity. Mm-hmm. You know, they buying the hype. But when them motherfucker boy, you be like, man, I remember at the Madison Square Garden, he's like, I was like, God damn! When you got dudes that be like, yo! That's when you know you got that shit, man. You seen every time BET had an event, he didn't even have a record out. There's like, we need something grown and sexy in the middle of this show. Mm. Have him come, you know, put that shit on or something. But now you don't have any of it, and now there's a separation too. So people don't even understand what they missing. They don't even know what they missing. Because they never got a chance to experience what was there before. And that's why I call it the golden era of life, too. Because when I was growing up as a kid, you too, we had a chance to understand different things. We knew not to be in the elevator cursing when Miss Johnson from the second floor is in there.
Morals,
we just don't do that. We're not snatching her pocketbook. We're not doing any of that kind of shit. We knew what our parents knew. We may not have been there with them, but you can know if she put on Teddy Pendergrass or she played Guy or you could get it. You understand it. Mm-hmm. And the separation gap, which I think, you know, the big machine did that, because when you kill the DJ, because they killed the DJ.
They killed the DJ
when the radio station gave him a playlist. Mm-hmm. When you gave a mix show DJ a playlist, you killed the DJ. The DJs brought you the hits. You didn't even know what the fuck a hit was. You corporate, you in the office. You don't know none of this shit. Mm-hmm. You ain't outside on the street every day. And that's why you had so many different styles of music, because different DJs were taking different shit they like. If you DJ Self and you playing Eric B for President, the Chuck Chillout is gonna play my melody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, I'm doing different shit. And for example, like back then, I told you mostly all of the records were singles. And they were on independent labels. So say, for example, hey, yo, what's up, Molly Ma? I see you on the street. This 89. Yo, Molly Ma, yo, my name is MC Cheetos. Yo, check out my new thing. We'll give you the vinyl. Mm-hmm. You like, I know I'm coming on Friday, and I know I'm coming on Saturday. Friday and Saturday, corporate ain't even listening to the radio. They ain't taking no ads. They ain't doing nothing really on the weekend because they think nothing's happening. But they fail to realize all the younger people are listening to the fucking radio and they hearing some amazing shit. So I gave you my shit, MC Cheetos. You went home, you was like, this Thursday night before you going to work Friday, you like, doom, 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 doom. You like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I can't wait to get to work. Boom, 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 do the chain, bow, bow. It was so much shit. Because everybody was like, we doing our own shit. Mm-hmm. So now you try to ride the frequency that the corporate guys got going on, because you can't get no airtime if it doesn't have that frequency, whatever they doing. And I shut the DJ down. When you kill the DJ, That's when everything went wrong. And a motherfucker could tell me anything they want to tell me all day. I lived it. I saw it. I saw it happen. I remember being at the radio station with Red Alert and Flex, and I seen when they started giving people a list the same week. So if you don't have the ear to the street, how the fuck, how are you going to make shit different? How is it going to change?
Right.
You can't change anything because I'm only doing what the fucking the boss says to do. And I know it must be a lot of pressure on a lot of DJs because a lot of them may not even have as much freedom that you may have. I don't know what kind of freedom you have, but it's certain guys that have a little bit of freedom, not really. But think about the most of them that don't. So now you go to a club and you see somebody, hey, yourself, man, why you play my shit? So every time you got to be like, dog, I wanna, but like, it's bigger than me. You know, it's bigger than me.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Man, I don't have a favorite of nothing. I like a lot of things, so, but I'm gonna answer your questions because I don't have a favorite. I like so many different things, man.
Top three.
Scratch Bastard. It's too many fucking DJs that do different things. Yeah. There's DJs that do dope blends, that just blend DJs that could be playing house all night, ding, 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 and the groove just keep going at you like, whoo, this is great. Mm. You know, you got so many. So I like, ask me, who's your favorite 100 DJs? Then we'd be here all day, and then I can answer like that. Because I like different DJs for different reasons.
Oh, that makes sense.
You have this new song, Butter.
Right? Yeah, put it on toast.
We're promoting, let's do it, right? Now, solo.
Mm-hmm.
Is it harder now to make these songs? Because before, you got to do one verse, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to at least stretch it out a little bit, pause. You understand? So,
<His guy. laughs>
you know, so is
that's
it
what you
got to
do. You're the first guy. You got to do that.
So, is it harder? Pause. Is it harder to do these songs now?
Oh, shit!
this is pause central over here.
Okay.
Is it these songs?
Is it more difficult?
More difficult, yes. Got you. Hello?
No. No, it's fun. You know, that was going to happen before anyway. So, like I said, when we met, we already had our own careers of what we were doing. Yeah, we all had our own careers of what we were doing. So this thing was basically like a bridge. You know, a bridge to get you to where the fuck you want to do from here now.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of that. Some people are not able to take advantage of it because some people were built like how certain boy bands were built. You put this together, you put them together. They don't know where to go from if that doesn't happen. But we already had our own identities before we were, you know, did a song or whatever. So we did something and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean, oh, just stay right there. You're supposed to do as much as you can, like I said earlier, in this short span of time that you have. I'm going down the other side of the mountain now, man. You know what I mean? I'm past a half a hundred.
Mm.
I'm going down the other side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to die holding in shit that I know that I always wanted to do in my life. Whether it was going to the beach and just laying there with my shoes off or just watching the sunset, if that's what I want to do. I want to go to the park and pick a booger and just sit there and pick boogers if I wanted to do. I want to do what I want to do. I'm not being trapped into what the society or the system say how you're supposed to feel or act. I take myself out of that whole equation. You know, I'm just here because I appreciate you and I appreciate you supporting. Mm-hmm. And if I'm able to do anything to help you, then I'm going to do whatever I can to help you.
Thank you.
I said before, I've been offered to come on a whole bunch of everybody's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. This is the first time I'm ever on a podcast ever.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never been on a podcast. But you always seem pure to me. You never seem phony to me. And that's why I did it. I'm like, I'm going to go do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And my other boys is like, but you didn't do the other dudes. The other guys with the liquor, you didn't do this. And I'm like, you know, I'll do it one day. You know, I wanted to be able to talk about things that I have going on. I love my legacy and my history, but I don't want to be stuck in that. I can't be stuck in that when I'm able to do other things. Again, some of my peers are not able to because a lot of them didn't produce their own records. It was a whole team. It was a setup, how it worked, and they just can't figure it out. And some are content to the point where if you're working and you're doing 60, 70 shows a year, at $10,000, you're doing more than lawyers is doing. You're getting doctor money.
Yeah.
And you can still go to the supermarket and nobody bother you. Mm-hmm. And you get up when you want to get up. You're living a great life.
That's true.
But I have a lot more to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, let me do that because I still do all that old shit. I'm never going to not do any of that. It's just making the shit better now. It's making it a whole lot better. And I got a chance to perform the new single that's only been out maybe now 10 days now. Mm-hmm. And
butter.
And I performed it at the South Street Seaport the other day. And it was like, once I did the first chorus one time, by the time it came to the second, the whole fucking Seaport sang the shit.
Knew this, uh-huh.
It was did just that quick. This?
You produced the song?
Yeah, I did that song. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And
what's the song? I don't mean to jump back around. What's the song that you produced that no one knows that you produced?
The Nicest Move Records.
Oh, so the whole, okay.
Yeah, all right. The Nicest
Move. I thought it was something that was just like, dang, I didn't know he was the production on it. I just figured it was one. So now I want to move forward and let's go to today. Today, do you have that notion that I'm just going to put singles out, I'm going to put an album out? Like, what's the game plan of 2024?
Wait, before you answer that, what made you want to start dropping music again?
I was going to do it. I just waited till things was clearing up, okay. You know, so you can run through the hole. Like the football play, you see the hole open, run through it. Everything goes in full circle in life, you know what I mean? So now it's come back around where shit is kind of like stagnated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing. I'm up there every day on Rock the Bells Radio with LL Cool J every day. That's another plus for me.
I do hear you do a segment like...
Yeah, we do a show called Salute the Sample.
Salute the Sample.
Oh,
okay.
That's dope. Okay.
Yeah, we do
and
that.
And he's another one that's dropping music. Like, a lot of you legacy rappers mm-hmm. are dropping new music, so it's a
legacy
new time.
Legacy rappers. That's what mm-hmm. I was trying to think.
You know.
Now you come up with it, right?
he gave me opportunity. And, you know, I took the ball and ran with that. But for the most part, like I said, I'm coming down the other side of the mountain.
Okay.
I got to do it with my knees and everything is still working good.
I hear that.
I got to do it where I can be like, yo, that shit was so nice. Fuck it, let's do it twice. Bring the shit back. I got to still be able to do that. And I'm still able to do it. So every week I'm somewhere performing, you know, whether it's, you know, doing the Nicest Move shit or mm-hmm. where I'm hosting some
do
shit.
Do you guys still perform together?
Yeah, okay. All the time, all the time.
Uh-huh.
The only difference is like you're not a teenager.
Okay.
So you're not standing in front of the building or hanging, you know what I mean? People got lives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, live on two different sides of the country. But, you know, you get on a plane, you get to the place. Hey, what's up, motherfucker? You ready? Yeah, you know you're ready. Yo, by the way, I'm good guy. Yeah, I am. Hit it, boom, 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 boom. And just get rocking, you know? So it's like going to work now.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just excited just to be able to be here and do what I love to do. Everything else don't matter. Again, man, enjoy your time. Every second that you have, enjoy it. Even when something makes you feel like getting angry, just say, fuck it. Turn the cheek and be like, man, put yourself in jail. Be like, oh, no, 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 I'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or put yourself
right.
in the hospital. Oh, no, 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 this shit ain't that bad. Mm-hmm. It's all right. I'm going to make it do what it do.
That's a word.
And that's how I live. That's how I'm thinking with my life. Make my music. Have fun. I put a goal in my head. I said if I could reach 5,000 people with what I'm doing, then great. Anything else extra is extra. Give me the sprinkles. I'll take the fucking whipped cream. I'll take the cherries on top. Whatever you want to give me. But as long as I got one scoop of ice cream, then I'm doing okay.
With no bones in it.
That's right. No bones in it, baby. Yeah, man.
Wait, so what was your question? What do you have coming in 2024? I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
You did.
I did interrupt you.
You did.
He usually does the interrupting. I did it today.
Game plan. Is it single?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you plan to put out a whole project or just throw out some singles?
I have more than 20 records already done. I have 5 videos already shot. And I'm getting ready to shoot some more. I'm going to put another record out, but I'm putting out a remix of this single where I'm doing regional remixes. So I have one for the South, one for the Northeast, and now I'm working on getting one for the West Coast.
Okay.
So I'll have that working. I'm going to stretch that shit as long as I can stretch it. And especially coming from a level where I'm coming from the fucking grits and the pots and pans level right now, that grassroots shit that I'm doing, is the record is moving, but it's moving slower. So it's moving to the point where it can last longer. Mm-hmm. So it didn't come from Universal or somebody with a big giant fucking bag that they take to the big guys upstairs and say, here, make this shit spin 20 times in a day. Mm-hmm. And that way, your ass could get tired of it too. You know, it'll wear you out. But how I'm doing is going in spurts because I'm seeing guys that send me messages on that social media thing. Like, man, I just heard this shit today. What the fuck is this? And sending me messages and all this. Fire, 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 fire. And I'm running and I see some young guy coming to me the other day. I was hanging out with Bun B and this young cat came to me. He's like, hey, OG. I'm like, hey, how you doing, bro? He's like, man, that thing that you do, man, I saw you at that Seaport the other day. That shit got the bop. I'm like, what's that? He's like, the bop. He said, I'm young. You know, that's the shit, the bop. We say the bop. Mm-hmm. And you got that shit with you, OG. The way you move, the way that shit sound. I was like, oh, thank you, man. Mm-hmm. And another guy came and said the same shit. And the dude was standing next to me going, look, he ain't even hear what you and I just talked about. He just said the same thing I just said to you. I was like, yeah, that's cool. I said, you believe in God? He was like, yeah. Because you know God ain't going to come out the sky. He'll talk through things and through people. And that's confirmation when he comes. Like, and I go, oh, I hear you, God. Because you know, sometimes you be frustrated about life and you start to lose your faith. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's just really spirituality. It ain't like it's a person, God. It's your spirit. You know, whatever vibes you push off, you know, you'll get it back. If you're pushing it off, negative shit gonna come. You do positive is gonna come, you know. And being human, we get frustrated, you know. We all get frustrated, mm-hmm. no matter what it is. But I'm taking a blessing and I'm running with it. I got another record I'm gonna drop. I got an R&B record I got. If you look at it categorized, like as far as an album, I got the album ready. I'm gonna call the album The Riddler. Because
the Riddler.
I tell riddles. I'm not a lyrical guy. I tell riddles. I make you say the shit with me. Mm-hmm. The first Summer Jam they had in the Hot 97 thing, I went there and we ain't even supposed to be there. We came out with Gangstar as a surprise. Nobody knew that we were gonna come there. And after that, nothing couldn't happen that night. After that, when I finished that, nothing couldn't happen. The shit was so bananas that I just, when I came out to do the hook, hey, okay, I just threw the fucking microphone away and just was doing it with the fucking 22,000. Bang, 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 the whole shit. Uh-huh. I was like, man, fuck that shit, you know? So I got fucking Christopher Williams on my album. I got Sheik Luch on my album.
I was gonna ask about the collabs, okay.
I got Chubb Rock on my album. I got Mr. Cheeks on my album. Mm. We get ready to shoot a video for the record with me and him. We're gonna do that in a roller skating ring. It's fun, make you dance. That's all I wanna do, man. I just wanna make you dance, that's it.
Shout out to my guy Cheeks.
You know?
We need to bring that type of music Queens, back. Okay? Queens.
Yeah, Southside, Jamaica.
You don't like nothing but the Bronx, right?
That's okay. You know, like we stay firm, but we allow a couple of people in the circle, that's you know, a couple like, of little yeah. boroughs so, in the circle.
And which camera? Where's the camera? And that camera, I apologize. Just tell them where could they get like your Instagram.
Oh, okay.
How to get the merch too. You know what
yeah,
saying?
Okay. It's Greg and I. I'm chilling here in Self's crib, man. The AC ain't working. Shit hotter than a wolf's pussy in here. Listen, you need to reach out to me. You can get me. GregNiceOfficial.com. Anything you want to do, GregNiceOfficial.com. And it has all my social media and everything locked into that. And get ready, man. We're going to go on a nice journey. It's going to be a nice summer, a nice fall.
Yo, what up?
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really awesome. You can't see, the head is down.
You know, it's just bust a bus.
I can't see. Where your head
bust
at?
Bust around.
No, I'm getting my hair cut right now.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. I only see the guy with a thing on the top of his head.
I know. Y'all can't see the magic until it's done.
Oh, now I see your head. No, all I saw was the dude with the thing on his head looking like Minions.
FaceTime shit. This nigga weird with this FaceTime. Nah, yeah, nah, no, we good. I just want you to see how I'm tapping in, baby.
You got catching me off guard.
Nah, it's all good, but I'm just showing you that, you know, I'm official. I'm tapping in. You know what I'm saying? I'm saluting niggas like Greg Nice.
Nils is my favorite MC in the planet. Nils, I used to ride in this little RX-7. My man that used to produce the Rumpelstiltskins, a nigga named RPM.
Uh-huh.
This is like, we were still leaders days. And when the first Nice and Smooth came out and the No Delaying and the No Bones and Nice Cream Records and all of them joints, I used to spit nail shit at every fucking situation that I was in. And I put so many niggas on, not that I needed to, but I made niggas understand why Nice and Smooth album was the best album ever made to me at that time, and particularly, right?
Uh-huh.
And we used to ride around motherfucking Times Square when the prostitutes used to be down on the west side of the motherfucking, and they was out there selling ass. We used to just ride around just playing that album with the Mad System and the nigga Whip, just to ride around and look at the chicks and look at the timeline, the skyline and all of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking used to run in the Nils and the different clubs, and then Nils brought me to the Bronx and brought me to the crib and let me meet like everybody, bro.
Mm-hmm.
The whole showbiz and AG family, motherfucking one of the old gangsters that was one of the illest motherfucking live wires, big BO,
mm-hmm.
out in the BX. Nils used to come to Long Island and pick me up in them Sterlings, nigga. This nigga had a Chevy Red Sterling looking mean. Nils used to ride around here like he was moving coke in the motherfucking economic era. That nigga was whipping the Sterling. Nigga pulled up on the crib in Long Island. My mom's love Greg Nice, my brother.
Yeah.
He was one of the ones that had faith in me when I was trying to figure this shit out.
Yes, sir.
Put me under his wing, and then the nigga gave me a lot of guidance and just really treated me like a big brother, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, when I get the opportunity to share those truths, man, I be wanting other niggas to know. I'm glad you tuned in with the fucking Godfather. You hear me?
Uh-huh.
So you with the Godfather, but he is truly the Godfather to me in real life. So, you know what I mean? Like, he got a new banger out here. Lean on that shit.
And nah, we definitely tapped that butter. Uh-huh.
Bro, that's good shit. Nils, I need to see you. I'm in the town. It's my last week in the town before I start the Missy tour. We got a link.
All right. I'm going to be here the Wednesday, so I'll come link up maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, go pull up to the stool. Let's press play on each other. I know you got a bunch of whacked out shit that I'm going to steal from you, too.
I got shit to share with you, baby.
I appreciate you, and I miss you, and I love you, big bro.
I love you, too, like cooked food.
Motherfucking
right,
self. I love you.
All right. I love my G. All right.
I like these regular check-ins, self. I like this.
Bro. All right, we tapping in. All right.
I salute you, King.
All right.
Love.
And that's how we do it right here on Apartment 5H. I thank y'all for tapping in. Remember, the new single is out right now.
Yeah.
Video is, it should be airing soon.
Video's out now.
Oh, video's out. My bad.
Video out now.
Butter.
Everywhere that they play videos. It's fun video.
Definitely
check
YouTube.
It out.
What's your name on YouTube? Let them know.
YouTube. The Real Greg Nice.
There we go.
Yep. The Real Greg Nice.
So should we say Greg N-I-C-E or just Greg Nice?
No, we can say Greg Nice.
And Greg N-I-C-E.
Hey. Chilling with S-E-L-F.
Here he is.
Can you dig it?
Hello. All right.